Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, today we're really getting into the mechanics of high fashion, looking at a pretty bold strategic move.
Yeah, we're focusing on the designer Harry, a big name at London Fashion Week.
And specifically this radical shift he's making with latex clothing. Our main source here is an analysis from Latex 247.
Right, and they really pinpoint this moment of, well, almost necessary change for him. Harry's known, globally for really pushing what latex can do.
Oh, absolutely. He wasn't just making clothes. It felt more like designing these architectural statements that grabbed headlines.
Totally. Very provocative, often inflatable, super sculptural.
Yeah, if you've seen the pictures, it's instantly recognizable. Really arresting visually, kind of surreal sometimes, almost like performance art with a designer label.
Exactly. But the key thing we're looking at, based on the source, is this conscious pivot away from pure spectacle.
Towards something he's actually calling museum wear.
Museum wear. And that's the core of our deep dive today, understanding that pivot. It's a huge challenge, isn't it?
It really is. How do you take something like latex niche, high concept, often about shock value, and make it, well, approachable?
Make it ready to wear, something a wider audience might actually buy and, wear. That's the business puzzle.
That's the tension. So before we dig into museum wear itself, we probably need to set the scene. Where is he coming from?
Good point. You have to understand the foundation he built first, which was purely theatrical, really.
His previous collections, especially the ones mentioned like Autumn Winter 2023, Spring Summer 2024, they were all about sculpture, weren't they?
Completely. Less about garments, more about these three-dimensional shapes, almost defying gravity sometimes.
Yeah, bold colors, the material stretched to its absolute limits, and of course, those signature inflatable
There's
bibs.
inflatable elements, right? Made the models look like they were wrapped in these kind of polished clouds or something.
Visually stunning, no doubt.
Oh, huge successes for editorial buzz. Perfect for magazine covers, a celebrity wanting to make a big entrance.
They definitely fulfilled that high concept fashion role, which is often more about starting conversations than actual, like, utility.
Right. Great for the red carpet. Maybe not so great for trying to mingle at a gallery opening.
Try sipping your drink gracefully while wearing a giant inflatable thing. It turns the whole experience into a performance. Maybe not always intentional.
And that image kind of gets to the heart of the issue he seemingly identified. He saw the disconnect, didn't he?
Between how popular the images were and how few people could actually realistically wear the pieces.
Exactly. His past work was essentially performance art, art you could only really watch from a distance.
And he actually talked about this limitation quite openly, according to the source material. He said something like,
Yeah, that's a great quote.
"Our last collection was bold. It was sculptural, inflatable, and surreal." He acknowledged that.
People loved it, reposted it, dissected it, all that online buzz.
But as time went by, we realized something. It also felt like a performance you could only watch, never step into.
Never step into. That's such a key phrase. It really shows that internal reflection, doesn't it?
It does, that tension for a designer. How do you keep that avant-garde edge, the thing that makes your brand unique?
While also making something the market can actually, buy and wear more broadly.
He built his name on spectacle, but maybe realized he needed to build the business on something more wearable.
Precisely. A classic challenge. So, okay, we get the problem. Art you couldn't step into. How did he tackle it? What was this big shift?
Well, this is where the term ready to wear becomes really significant. The new SS26 range is specifically called out as his first proper RTW collection.
And that label, ready to wear, it's a clear signal, isn't it? A
For sure.
deliberate move to reach a wider, more inclusive audience.
People who aren't necessarily performers or walking art installations.
You're right. It's not just tweaking the style, it's fundamentally shifting the business model, it seems. Recognizing that buzz doesn't always pay the bills.
And you can hear the enthusiasm or maybe relief in his comments about it. He said, "This season feels different."
Not because we set out for a spectacle, but because we set out to share.
Share. That's interesting. Moving from showing off to sharing.
It implies making it accessible, bringing people in. But you have to wonder, is there a risk there?
Well, like losing the edge, diluting the brand.
Exactly. If you tone down that exuberance, do you lose what made people notice you in the first place?
It's a fair question, but the analysis we're looking at suggests the opposite, actually, that launching a serious RTW line kind of legitimizes him further.
How so?
It shows he's not just a visual artist playing with fashion, but a proper designer who can adapt, explore new ideas, including commercial ones. It's about evolving.
Okay, I see. So it's like the grown-up move in fashion. You prove your unique vision isn't just a gimmick. It can translate into actual sellable clothes.
And that's where museum wear comes in as the bridge. It's saying art and wardrobe don't have to be enemies.
Right. And the launch location really hammered that home, the Barbican Center in London.
Yeah, presenting the collection on the rooftops there. The Barbican is this, like, iconic hub for arts and performance.
It's a symbol of established culture, architecture, exhibitions. So launching wearable art on top of that landmark, it's a very visual statement.
It reinforces that whole idea of bridging the gap.
And the name Museum Wear itself.
Yeah.
It's not just branding. He explained it quite clearly.
What did he say exactly?
He said, it's our way of bridging the gap between the art you stand back and marvel at.
Right, the stuff in the gallery.
And the art you carry with you, live in, and move through the city with.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. Carry with you, live in, move through the city with. Those verbs are doing a lot of work.
They really are. He's demanding intimacy, functionality, daily integration, things his older pieces just couldn't offer.
He wants you to weave the art into your actual life, not just pose in it.
Exactly. And look who he says it's for. It's quite specific.
It's not the usual fashion crowd, necessarily, is it?
No. It's described as being for people who wander through galleries, who show up to openings, who stay curious.
Who absorb culture and add to it in their own quiet ways. It sounds like it's for the appreciator, the culturally engaged person.
Someone who gets the art world, maybe appreciates the spectacle, but wants a piece of that artistry they can actually integrate, make it personal, functional.
Okay, but practically speaking, we are still talking about latex. Ready-to-wear usually suggests things like comfort, maybe breathability, ease of care.
Three things latex isn't exactly famous for.
Right. So how functional can a latex shirt or jacket realistically be for, like, wandering through a gallery?
Well, that's the innovation part, isn't it? This deep dive suggests it requires some serious technical thinking. Maybe different types of latex.
Thinner gauges, perhaps, things that drape differently, better tailoring.
Yeah, focusing on cut and structure, and crucially, putting latex into standard garment shapes, not just bodycon stuff.
So what are the actual clothes? What does this RTW latex wardrobe look like?
It's presented as a full range. Jackets, shirts, tops, bottoms. Think outerwear, layering pieces, not just, you know, niche fetish wear.
Okay.
And the details seem key. Maybe more matte finishes alongside the high gloss. Definitely tailored silhouettes, using the material structure without making the wearer feel like they're on stage.
But he can't completely ditch the drama, surely. The fans who love the big inflatable stuff, they'd feel let down if it all became just subtle latex shirts.
No, and he hasn't, apparently. Yeah. The analysis points out it's more of a balance, a compromise.
So the over-exuberant inflatable designs aren't gone, just reduced.
Exactly. He's offering a spectrum. You still get flashes of that signature drama. The source mentions eye-catching shoulders and inflatable waistcoats, specifically.
Ah, okay, so you can kind of choose your level. You could get a fairly wearable, tailored latex jacket for every day.
Right, as a statement piece.
Or you could pair it with one of those big inflatable waistcoats if you're going somewhere, you know, extra.
Precisely. And even the dramatic pieces are now shown alongside garments that are clearly meant to be versatile and adaptable for regular wearing.
So it creates entry points. Someone new could just buy the jacket, but the original fans still get their fix of the architectural stuff.
It seems like a smart way to manage that transition. Keep the core identity while expanding the appeal.
So wrapping this up, this museum wear collection really signals an evolution for Harry, doesn't it?
Yeah, a move away from just being a creator of high fashion sculptures, things you admire from afar.
To someone who's seriously thinking about how high art can fit into, well, normal life, adaptable life.
You're trying to shift the whole conversation around latex fashion, really, making it seem less intimidating, more approachable.
He used the shock value to build the platform, and now he's using that fame to invite more people in through accessibility.
Yeah, the dialogue changes from, wow, look at that crazy outfit, to something more like, how could I actually wear that piece of art?
Which brings us to a final thought, maybe something for you, the listener, to consider. Harry talks about bridging the gap between fine art, the museum piece, and functional clothing.
So think about that for your own style. What does it actually mean to live in your clothes, to move through the city with the art you wear?
Is the function improved by the art, or is the art made more meaningful because it's functional, because you use it every day?
That balance between utility and self-expression, It's a fascinating challenge, not just for Harry, but for all of us when we choose what to wear.
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.